Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a riser that actually belongs in jungle and old school D&B, not just a generic build-up that says, hey, I'm about to drop. We want something with tension, movement, attitude, and that slightly damaged, sample-based soul that makes the transition feel alive. The big idea here is simple. A good riser in drum and bass is not just rising in pitch or brightness. It's helping the arrangement breathe. It's pushing the drums forward, creating pressure before the drop, and giving the listener that feeling that the whole room is being pulled inward. In modern D&B, especially in darker rollers and jungle revival stuff, the riser has to do two things at once. It needs modern punch, but it also needs vintage character. So let's build a warp-based riser in Ableton Live 12 using stock tools, and make it feel gritty, musical, and tight enough to slam into the drop cleanly. First, choose a source with attitude. This is really important. Don't start with a sterile white noise sweep if you want that jungle flavor. Start with something that already has a bit of personality. A vocal chop, a rave stab, a short reese note bounce to audio, a break slice with a noisy tail, even a field recording with some tone in it. Something imperfect is better here. Load that audio into a track and set your project tempo to match the track, usually somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM for modern jungle and D&B, or 165 to 172 if you're aiming more roller style. Even if the section feels halftime, think in proper musical phrases. This riser needs to support the arrangement, not just fill space on the grid. If the source is a little too clean, give it a touch of saturator first. You're not trying to destroy it. Just add a little harmonic dust, a few dB of drive, soft clip-on, and maybe 60 to 100% dry slash wet depending on how sterile the source feels. That tiny bit of grit goes a long way. Now turn on warp and open clip view. This is where the magic starts. For tonal material, Complex Pro is usually a great first choice. If it's more rhythmic or noisy, test beats or tones. The goal is not just to time stretch the clip. The goal is to shape tension with warp behavior. Here's the teacher move. Don't think of warp points as correction tools. Think of them as emotional control points. Place warp markers on strong transient moments and move them slightly apart so the clip feels like it's being pulled forward. If there's a tail, stretch the last section so it hangs into the build. That creates that classic jungle pull, like the sample is being dragged toward the drop. If you're using a vocal-like source, keep formants fairly neutral, maybe slightly lowered if you want extra weight. If it's a rhythmic stab, beats mode with 1/16 or 1/8 transients can give it a chopped, urgent feel. Tones can be great for single-note material that you want to feel a little synthetic and tense. This is where people often make a mistake. They just stretch the sample upward and call it a riser. But in D&B, tension is often perceived as movement and pressure, not just brightness. Warp gives you that sense of acceleration, instability, and lift without sounding like a stock effect. Next, let's build a second layer for movement and texture. Duplicate the clip to another track and process it more aggressively. On that layer, try auto filter, echo, redux, and maybe erosion. You can also use utility if you want to control mono and gain cleanly. A great starting chain is bandpass or low-pass auto filter, then echo sync to 1/8D or 1/4, then a bit of redux for grit, and a little erosion if you want unstable top-end movement. Keep the echo subtle at first. You're not trying to drown the clip. You're trying to make it bloom. Automate the filter cutoff from low to high across the build. Something like 200 to 600 Hz at the start, opening up to 10 or even 16 kHz by the end. But don't make it linear. Give it a curve. Keep the first half restrained, then make the final bar do the heavy lifting. That contrast is what makes the final push feel exciting. And here's a really useful trick. Let the echo feedback swell a little in the last two beats, then cut it hard right before the drop. That little pull-away moment feels very D&B. It creates anticipation without cluttering the downbeat. Now shape the overall envelope with volume automation. This is where the riser becomes part of the arrangement, not just a sound effect. Start the riser lower in the mix, maybe 12 to 18 dB below its peak presence, and bring it up gradually over 8 or 16 bars. Then, in the final bar, make the lift more dramatic. If needed, mute it or sharply reduce it right before the drop so the first kick, snare, or bass note has room to hit hard. If you want clean gain riding, automate utility gain rather than only using the track feeder. That keeps your balance controlled, especially if you're layering multiple risers or doing resampled versions. Now let's bring in the vintage soul. This is where the sound stops feeling like a modern EDM sweep and starts feeling like something sampled, bounced, and lived in. Add a touch of vinyl distortion, some saturator if you need more weight, and maybe a very gentle auto pan for motion. If you want extra instability, a subtle frequency shifter can be really effective too, but keep it low. You want tension, not sci-fi weirdness. A good strategy here is to resample the processed riser. Record it to audio, then drag that bounced version back into the project and warp it again. That adds a layer of real world instability. It also makes the movement feel more like a sampler era process, which is perfect for jungle and old school energy. Now let's make sure this riser doesn't steal the drop's impact. Use EQ8 on the riser bus. High pass it somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz, depending on how much body it has. If it's scratchy around 2.5 to 5 kHz, dip that area a bit. And if you need more air, add a gentle high shelf above 8 or 10 kHz, but only if the mix can take it. If the layers are too spiky, add a compressor or glue compressor to catch peaks. Keep it light. A 2:1 or 4:1 ratio, moderate attack, and medium release is usually enough. The idea is to control the rise, not flatten it. At this point, start thinking in terms of drum interplay. In DNB, the riser should respond to the break, not ignore it. If your arrangement has a snare fill, make the riser support that phrase. If the break stutters, let the riser breathe with it. If the final half bar opens up, let the riser answer that space. This call and response is what makes the transition feel musical instead of pasted on. A very effective structure is something like this: a couple bars of break variation, then a filtered riser movement, then a snare fill, then a final shove into the drop. You can even subtract elements before the drop, like pulling out kick weight or thinning the hats, so the listener feels the absence before the impact. That makes the drop feel heavier. Width is another huge one. Don't widen the whole riser from the start. Keep the early part mostly centered. Then open the stereo image only near the peak. You can automate utility width from narrow to full or slightly beyond full in the last beat, then snap it back tighter on the drop, if the bass and drums need center focus. That contrast is powerful. It makes the drop feel bigger without just turning everything up. You can also keep the lower elements more mono and let only the top layer spread out. That way the build feels wide and exciting, but the low end stays disciplined. For the ending, be decisive. In DNB, risers usually work best when they resolve with intent, not when they fade away politely. Hard mute it on the drop, or let a tiny reverse tail or echo throw lead into the first beat and then cut it. If the drop starts with a heavy res or subline, clear the low mid slightly earlier than you think. Even a little leftover low mid energy can reduce the perceived weight of the first bass hit. Here's a quick advanced coaching note. Think of the riser as a miniphrase. It should have a first push, maybe a small hesitation, and then a final shove. If you build that into the warp movement, filter, gain, and width, it will feel intentional and musical. Also, don't automate just one thing. Pair warp changes with filter movement, level changes, and stereo motion. That layered movement is what makes the build feel alive. A couple of extra creative variations are worth trying. You can make two copies of the same source, one that rises slowly and one that stays restrained until the final bar. Blend them quietly together for a more complex tension curve. Or try a broken tape approach. Render the riser, slice it, reorder a few tiny pieces, and warp it again. That can sound incredibly authentic in jungle because it feels like it came from a sampler, not a preset. You can also make a ghost riser layer that's almost inaudible until the final beat. It might be a filtered noise bed or a distorted stab. The listener may not notice it directly, but it increases perceived density before the drop, and that's often what makes the transition feel bigger. If you want to push it further, split the riser into three layers: a body layer for the tonal source, an air layer for brightness, and a damage layer for saturation or frequency shifting. Keep the body controlled, let the air layer handle the top end, and use the damage layer sparingly for character. One of the best arrangement moves is to make the riser part of the groove. Start it after a fill, pause it for a beat during a break chop, bring it back on the next snare, and cut it exactly when the drop lands. That stop-start relationship is very jungle. It mirrors the chopped energy of the drums and makes the transition feel like part of the performance. So, final check. Solo the riser and listen to it on its own. It should still feel like it has shape and direction. Then listen in the full arrangement. Does it support the drums? Does it leave room for the bass? Does the last bar create excitement without clutter? If yes, you've got a proper DNB riser, one that blends modern punch with vintage soul. For homework, try making two or three versions from the same source. Build one that feels more jungle and sample-like, one that feels darker and more controlled, and one that sounds more polished but still human. Keep them short, keep them phrase-based, and compare which one leaves the most room for the drums and bass. That's the big takeaway here. In jungle and old school DNB, a riser is not just a sweep. It's part of the composition. It should feel like it belongs to the break culture, not pasted on top of it. And when you get that balance of tension, grime, and control, the drop hits so much harder.